Hey, I'm so glad you're here to watch Live Church. This is not just a program. We pray to God that it's an encounter with Him, that in the worship and in the word that we share together today, that God would speak directly to your heart. He loves you so much, and we're trusting God for greater things to come in your life and for all those you love. Come on, let's get started together now. Yesterday when I went out to pray and plan for this time together, I was out walking my dog Jake, and we were out in the canal. Beautiful day yesterday, wasn't it? Yeah. In the Shire. And as I'm walking, there was an older guy, and he was sat on a bench, and I just knew that God wanted me to talk to him. And he was sat down. He looked like he'd camped out. He had two bowls for his dog. One was full of food, one was full of water. And as I just sat down and talked to him, we had a conversation that lasted probably 20, 30 minutes. And in the course of that conversation, I explained who Jesus was to him. We start talking about our dogs. Of course, we ended up talking about Jesus. And then he asked me loads of questions. Questions about the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and Christian Scientology. And then we talked about what makes Jesus different than all of those things. And as we talked about Jesus, this gentleman said, "I'm 83 years old. I fought in World War II in Germany. I fought for my nation. I've raised children, and my children are raising children. And this is the first conversation I have ever had where I have understood who Jesus is." 83 years old. I think sometimes God just brings me into back cleanup. Because I don't know how much longer that guy has left on the earth, but I know this. He now understands who Jesus is, and he's got my cell phone number. He's invited to the Alpha course on Thursday, and we're believing God. But that's just one person. The GO track, what this does, that's answering that problem in our community with so many people who don't understand Jesus. And guess what? You are the army that's going to make a difference. Right here in this room, and we need to equip you and empower you so that you share your faith. So I know we talked about the growth track, but now we're going to get into the meat of this that's on my heart to be able to do this. And when I'm talking about this, it's important that we take some time to know that this is what the Bible teaches. This just isn't, you know, some pipe dream we've had. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19. He said, "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." That's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission is a partnership, and it's about going out into the world. So I want to talk about this I believe section where God partners with us to reach people for Jesus Christ. Has anybody led anyone to Jesus in the past week? Any hands up if you led anybody to Jesus in the past week? Come on, can we give these people a round of applause? This is good. This is good. We had two hands up in the room and this side. My hand's up, so that's three. Imagine if it wasn't just three, but 30. Imagine if it's 300. And people say, "Well, I'm not an evangelist." But we all are called to do the work of evangelism. That's sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And I know that's our desire because we're such a great church with so much passion. So why is it then that we aren't seeing more people saved? Well, that's why we need a GO track, to break it down week by week like we do with the growth track. And I know it's confusing. Rich Martin, where's Rich? He's always complaining. Go and grow is too close together. Steve, you're going to confuse everybody, he tells me. But I think simple is good. I think simple is good. Rich is right there. Rich Martin, you cheeky monkey, Rich. We've been talking about this and brainstorming, and I think it's good. When you sit down and you start talking and planning and outworking things as a team, and how does it land? And so what we're saying on this GO track, it'll take us a while to develop the material, but by September 2018, we're planning to get this into the heart of the church. We're writing the curriculum. We've already written a few drafts, and so we'll get there. So this GO track is not something we're copying from another church. Not at all. When I first got saved, God showed me this vision. Not this particular house vision. This is the best drawing I can find that demonstrates what the Holy Spirit showed me when I was 19 years old. It was a deserted house that was abandoned. And I began to pray. I said, "God, where are the workers for the house?" And, you know, I'm not the best DIY person, and all the church said, amen. I don't really understand carpentry or some of that stuff, but I look at this house without windows and this overgrown with weeds, and I'm like, where are the workers? And I realized that God was showing me his church, his local church. And his local church that's in so much neglect, with so much confusion about what the church is today, what the local church is today. So few people going to the local church. And so I prayed, God, send somebody to work in the house, but don't send me. If you prayed those prayers. God, like, you know, I'm happy, like, to serve you, but really I'd rather have a career, God, and I'd rather do this and I'd rather do that. But as I began to pray, I realized God was asking me to work in the house. And then God went on to show me a field around the house. And the field was all broken down like this. That's of a cornfield, and it was beaten down and abandoned and rotting on the, really, literally the corn is rotting in that field. I'm like, where are the workers that are going to go in and harvest that? Because these fields are ready for harvest. In fact, they're past harvest time. And of course, nobody responded. And so I realized that God was calling me to work in the field and to work in the house. Now, it's just like God, isn't it? The vision that God gave me actually has a spiritual implication. That's good of God, isn't it? When he shows you a vision and there's actually a Bible scripture, and I had the vision first, and then I found 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, that says, for we are co-workers, that we would serve in God's field and serve in God's building. And those scriptures work together, the house and the field. In other words, that when we're in the house, every single person that's working in the house, we have to point them to go back into the fields and work. And every person that's working in the fields needs to be pointed back into the house to work into the house. So we have field work and we have housework. If we just work in the church and make the church services awesome and the worship is brilliant and it's so good that worship goes on for 3 hours, and Aaron and Eby do every song they could ever do, and then Jock gets up and does another hour after that, and it goes on and on and on. We might enjoy that, but people are not going to come in and find Jesus because they can't relate to those services. If we just go out into the fields and rescue people and lead them to Jesus, but don't take them from the field into the house to be discipled and to be cared for, then they're going to die in the fields. They're not ever going to be discipled in the fields. They've got to be planted in the house because that's where we flourish. So we've got the growth track, and now we're going to have the go track. Both things are the same coin, but they're just each side of what that coin looks like. And that's why I can say with confidence, we're going to smash the salvation barrier in 2018 because we have a strategic plan to do it. If we just say, yeah, we want to see more people saved, that's great. I believe God wants that too. But God's asking you and I to come up with a plan and use our brains and use our minds and use our mouths and use our lives to lead people to Jesus. I can't wait till Monday, because on Monday, I'll see some more non-Christians. On Monday, you're going to see a lot of people who don't know Jesus. And I think that's a good thing. Now we're talking about people coming to know Jesus, and I've just said to you, we had 811 salvations across our campuses, but it's hard for us to relate to 811 salvations. It's hard for us to understand. Let me tell you a story. On Wednesday, we were sitting down in Peterborough at Kingsgate Church, and I've been working with a bunch of churches trying to figure out our strategy and church planning and a lot of things that are in my heart that we're not talking about at the moment, but we're working hard behind the scenes. And Charlotte said to me, Steve, she goes, you've got our Warsaw campus pastor there, right? I said, yeah, she's with us right now. Igor was over from Poland, and she was with us strategizing. And Charlotte said, get that girl on a train and get her up for She. Are there any She girls in the house? How good was She on Wednesday night? And, you know, this is what happened. So she came, she came, and she said, Steve, she goes, well, to get there from Peterborough to Bradford, the train fare costs £120. That's a lot, £120. So we had to think, okay, now, we believe in prayer, and we believe in all that, but British Rail wants finance, right? We're praying, they want finance, and so we decided to put her on that train and get her up to She, and she had a brilliant evening at She. And then on the way, when she was coming back the next morning early to be with us at Kingsgate in Peterborough, she sent me a text message and said, Steve, we're stranded. We're stranded because someone has been hit by a train on Bradford to Peterborough, and they've closed the train line, and so I'm trying to get there. And when I got that message, it was very early in the morning. It was about 7:15, 7:30 in the morning, and I was already up praying. And when I was up praying about all this, I realized there's an urgency in God to rescue people now. I don't know if that was a suicide or what happened on that train line, but we need our campus pastors and our Warsaw campus firing on all cylinders so we can rescue Poland for Jesus. Amen? And so it's like, you know, that spirit suddenly motivated me. And so I got my headphones, got my Dr. Beat headphones. I love my Dr. Beat headphones on. And I downloaded, I illegally downloaded the message from She. I say illegally because I don't know if men are supposed to listen to that message or not, but I'm like, heck, I'm the lead pastor. I can do what I want. So I downloaded the message, and I listened to Charlotte's preach about the whole thing she preached about the way that women, Lydia in the Bible, the first woman to be saved in Europe, Lydia, and this whole message that she brought. And I listened to the message, and it was so powerful, and I took my headphones off, and I was walking, and I saw a man. And the man was on a bridge in this beautiful park. And it was a beautiful sunny morning, and I was listening to the message, and I was thinking, and I was seeing this man, and then Tim and Donna Haig were texting me prophetic words back and forth and praying, and we were texting back and forth about the day, and Tim was about to teach in our evangelism college that day. And anyway, so I'm looking at this man, and all this is going on, and I listen to this message, and I'm like, oh, God, you want me to speak to that man, don't you? So I go over and I speak to this man. This man's called Don, and he's bird watching. And you know, I've already told you my story about Jake. To me, I can lead any conversation to Jesus. It's just a skill I have. And I was talking to him about wildlife, and we just got back from Kenya. And I was like, hey, you're looking at a bird? I was just looking at lions. Obvious connection. And of course, a lion leads to Jesus. Obvious connection, right? And so I loop it around, conversation loops back around again, and we start talking about this park we're standing in, and we start talking about the investment. And I didn't realize the 30 million pound park was donated by one individual. One individual donated all that land for that city. And as I'm standing in that park, I realize God is sending me a sign of what God can do when people send finance to make a difference. And as I'm standing there in a park, I'm thinking, people's lives are so much more valuable than a blade of grass or a bird in a tree. Not that those are important, but you know what I'm saying? People last forever. And so I start talking about changing our city. I don't know if you know this, but next week, we're meeting with some of the lead counselors yet again in Bradford Council to try to transform the parkland in front of this church. And we're meeting with them. And what I'm going to talk to them about is how you can transform land. Because they keep saying they don't have any money in Bradford. I'm like, well, God's not limited to your pocketbook. God has his own way of bringing resource. And if we have to lead all the counselors to Jesus in Bradford, so be it. So that they can get a bigger vision to help transform our city. And so the connection is, as Don's telling me about how the park was designed and all this stuff, the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he clearly says to me, Steve, I've called you to be a bridge. And as I'm listening to this, I'm on a bridge, I'm talking to a man about Jesus, I'm realizing, church, we need to be a bridge to bring hope to hurting humanity. We need to be a bridge where we can bring life and passion to people to rescue them. And as I'm talking with Don, Don looks at me and I look at him and I say, you're a man of faith, aren't you? He said, well, I go to a Catholic church. So I said, well, how about meeting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And he said, yes. And so right then we lead him to Jesus. And I'm like, church, this is not difficult. God is with us. God is for us. We can do this. We can get this sense of working out in the fields. And so I know this is a reach for some of us, so I'm going to land this in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 says this, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. This is an awesome story. I don't have time to really talk about this very much, but this is the story of Philip. And Philip, I mean, this guy, he's amazing, and he's just listening to God, and God tells Philip to go to a certain location on the desert road, to go down from Jerusalem to Gaza, and he starts out, and on his way, he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. And the Ethiopian eunuch was the lead steward of the treasury, which means the queen of Ethiopians. He was the treasurer of the queen. So Philip meets this person. And I wanted to say this because I think God is going to lead us to people who have finance to help us fund our vision to extend the reach of Life Church. And so I've selected this passage because Philip goes there and all this he is doing, he's obedient to God. And he begins to share, okay? Now this leads me to this principle that I'm just going to unpack, just mention this. The principle of innovation and imagination. Innovation is doing a new thing, a new way, in the right time. That's all innovation means. A new idea, a device, a method, tapping into a trend, that's an innovation. That's an innovative strength. And, you know, innovation is so important when you're talking about reaching people for Jesus. You know, when we first started out in ministry, Charlotte and I, we used to lead life groups in South Bradford, and we were so innovative. Oh, we came up with all kinds of ideas to reach people. And Charlotte has two sisters that are twins. And so I came up with the innovative idea to let those twins do country western barn dancing. Yes, I did. That was like the craze that lasted about 3 years. Line dancing, it was called. And they actually coached line dancing. Line dancing has been like dead for 20 years. But those girls put themselves through university doing line dancing. Wow. In the city of Bradford. They were doing line dancing almost 6-7 nights a week, weren't they, Shaw? And it was this innovative trend. Now, here's the thing about innovation. What was innovative back then, line dancing, will not work today. We're not going to do line dancing today. Everybody said, thank God for that. Amen for that. Line dancing is truly dead. But that's the nature of innovation. Innovation needs to keep changing and keep inventing. And so when we're talking about what we feel God is saying to us, we've got to be innovative, which is why we're talking about a transformation center over here on this. We've got to be innovative and keep changing. That's what we're talking about, a go track. And whatever else that God teaches us, we want to keep on that cutting edge of being innovative. Now, innovation releases imagination. Innovation releases imagination. When you start to get innovative, imagination, and you start to imagine, what could God do through our lives? And as Philip started to talk to this Ethiopian, this queen, this queen's treasurer, you know, he was literally interpreting what this person was reading in the Bible. And the person was reading about Jesus. And so Philip starts to explain and start to unpack what this Bible scripture means. But Philip could have never imagined what happened next as he does that, because it ends up when he explains who Jesus is, this ruler, this leading treasurer sees some water by the side of the road and says, hey, there's some water. I believe in Jesus. Why don't I just get water baptized right now? Right now, right here on the side of the road, let me just get water baptized. So he says, stop. Both chariots come to a screeching halt. They all jump out, dive in the water, and this Philip baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, what happened next to Philip, I mean, is just brilliant. This is so cool. It says this, that they went down into the water, and when they came out of the water, the Spirit of God suddenly took Philip away. Where did he go? I mean, what is this? I mean, it's like, talk about innovation and imagination. He's like, there's the water. Let's be innovative. Let's stop the chariots. Let's get down. But what happened next defied even Philip's imagination. And what happened next was he was caught up. And it says the eunuch never saw him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip appeared at Azotus. Azotus was 30 miles or so away from where this location was. Wouldn't that be great if we didn't have to take airplanes? Yes. We could just move from where we are to where we needed to be. I mean, we can't make it a theology about all this, but I'm simply saying this. When you obey God, you start to get innovative, and innovation releases imagination. And when your imagination is released, God does more than you could ever imagine. And so then Philip preached the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. I'm believing as we go into this section that it's not just one person believing, that we all believe and start to experience things that defy our imagination, that we get into areas we've never imagined before, and God turns up and he shows up and he confirms his word. God is already doing amazing things amongst us. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like this where you've had something happen to you that is a miracle, but church, you need to know that I think we're into a whole new season as a church. And all we need to be is in a place of obedience. A place of obedience to just step out and have a conversation like you just saw Philip. And what happens next could be incredibly supernatural if you just take that first step of faith. Of course, that Ethiopian eunuch, he went back into that land and talked to his queen. And what happened was, it was just Philip before, one person believing. Now we have a key person and a key location, a gatekeeper to a nation, a gatekeeper to a kingdom that's fully financed, bringing the great news of Jesus Christ at the highest level. Do you know what we're believing for this month? That we reach gatekeepers at the highest level. This year in 2018, we reach gatekeepers that will unlock doors so that we can get to the next level as a church. That's what we're believing for. And having said all of that about I believe, I'm asking a question. Are you ready to obey God? Are you ready to put to practice your innovation and imagination so that we can see God do more things amongst us that are truly supernatural?
Atmosphere is changing now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. The Spirit of the Lord is here. Overflowing this place, fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us. Oh. Let's sing it out. Atmosphere is changing now. Come on, sing it out. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around. The Spirit of the Lord is here. To overflow in this place, so fill our hearts with your love. See your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter you. on, church. We're going to sing that.
Hey, thank you so much for watching. We pray to God that you've been impacted by how great God's word is, by how great God's plan is for your life. But I do want to say, if you need prayer for anything, then drop us a line, drop us an email. We would love to hear from you so that we can pray for you and just continue on this journey of building life together. Have a great week, month, year ahead.